Today on Real Radio.
Dead people stay dead. The women believed, listen, this is not a conspiracy. They believe he's dead. They've prepared spices, which are the embalming fluids. They go to the tomb. They're bummed out. In fact, in a moment, I'm going to read you a verse that they were wondering, how in the world are we going to get the stone rolled away so we can put this on his body? Dead people stay dead. They're going to encounter a wonderful problem in a moment.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Luke's New Testament narrative. We're looking at the first 12 verses of chapter 24. It's a record of what is rightly called the most pivotal point in Earth's history. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a study called And on the Third Day.
On the third day, the world changed forever. We're going to have some fun with this today because you may be here this morning and you're saying, man, I don't want to hear this. I'm only here because my friends are going to bribe me with food later or whatever. Hey, that's fine, but for now, we got you. And we got you this way. We want you to think about what you're hearing. You'll decide. You can't be apathetic on it. God will hold you and I accountable for what we hear. Everything we hear, we become responsible for. What you're going to be hearing today is absolute truth, fact. And so you need to decide what you're going to do with it. Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 1, it says, now on the first day of the week, that's Sunday, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened that as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining apparel or shining garments. Then as they were afraid and they bowed their faces toward the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, he's risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee? Verse 7, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Then they returned, these are all the women who came, they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And or but their words seemed to them to be like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Imagine the news that morning, 2,000 years ago. Number one, the Old Testament prophets had announced this very thing would happen. It shouldn't have been a surprise, especially in light of the fact that for 33 and a quarter years, you could have opened up your Bible from Genesis to Malachi, the Old Testament, and you could have read about what the Messiah would say, do, where he would be born, what he would experience, to the point of his beard being plucked out of his face, to the point of his back being ripped open, to the point that the Bible said in Isaiah, in the book of Psalms, that the Messiah would be crucified. And they knew this in the scriptures, but they didn't apply it to the moment, at least not all of them. But now they've got this weekend in history where Jesus is crucified. On Friday night, he was laid in a tomb. And on Saturday, it is the feast day. It was the Sabbath day, more than that, because it was the weekend of Passover. It was the Saturday that made it the Feast of First Fruits. We'll talk more of that in a moment. One of the seven feasts of Moses. Why does that matter? But on Sunday morning, the women go to the tomb to embalm the body of Jesus. In those days, the Hebrews, not like the Egyptians, the Hebrews would not remove the inner parts of the person. They would simply wrap the person's grave cloths with beautiful perfumes and ointments. Those women are going to the tomb to do that very thing. It's recorded in history. It's recorded in Roman history. The resurrection was a fact that rocked Rome because those that were standing around the tomb, mind you, was a dispatch of Roman soldiers. It was on their watch that no one was to break the seal of the Roman Empire, which was placed across the stone. The punishment for that seal being broken to those Roman guards was death. It's a big deal. What's going on? How many of you have heard of Plato? Not Plato, but Plato. Raise your hand. Most of you, if not all of you. How many of you have heard of Socrates? More of you. How do you know they ever lived? Honestly. Come on, talk to me. Their writings. How do you know? How do you know about their writings? Because you've read it. How do you know you were reading their writings? How many of you ever heard of Shakespeare? Raise your hand. How many of you think that when you're reading Shakespeare, you're reading Shakespeare? Did you know that Shakespeare didn't write all the Shakespeare writings that are attributed to Shakespeare? There's voids and gaps in there. But when we talk about Plato and Socrates, we are talking about people. We are talking about people that will give it to you that actually lived. But here's the reason why we say they actually lived, because they had students, for one thing. We've heard about their students. Their writings, we attribute it to them because of the fact that it's been passed down to us. Homer wrote the Iliad. About a little over 600 manuscripts of that document exist. It is the most documented secular piece of work in antiquity that there is in the world today. We can say pretty sure that he wrote that thing. We give Socrates and others the benefit of the doubt. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible, specifically the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there are more documents that back that up. Over 14,000 original documents support the Bible and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Homer's work is second at 600. There's no other work that compares to the Bible. Why do I say that? Because what you and I believe in as Christians, our faith is founded upon fact. If somebody says, well, you dumb Christians, you just make this leap of faith into nothing. Quite the contrary. We know what we believe. It is not some fairy tale. The world would have you to believe it's a fairy tale. The world would have you to believe that Socrates really wrote his stuff. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. We've read of his students that said he did, but the documentation is nothing compared to the validity of the Bible. What are you going to do about that? You will stand before God in eternity and you will give an account for the fact that, yes, I believe the Bible. You think for a moment that man invented the Bible? The Bible makes it very clear that God spoke the Bible through men. That's why this Bible, I love it, this Bible is without error. In the original languages, God's word is without error. And imagine this, in a little over a month, many of us are going to be looking at original pages of the Bible at the shrine of the book in Jerusalem. You're going to be seeing the works of David, Daniel, and Isaiah. Wow, why is all this important? Because listen, we're talking about the third day. And number one, church, it's this. On the third day, we want to mark this down. On the third day, point number one, verses 1, 2, and 3, is that the unheard of happened. The unheard of. What do we mean by that? Well, this is what we mean. When the Bible tells us here that on the first day, Sunday of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. The first thing that we notice is, mark it down, is that dead people stay dead. That's what dead people do. They stay dead. Dead people don't get up and move around. Dead people don't get up and walk. Dead people stay dead. The women believed, listen, this is not a conspiracy. They believe he's dead. They've prepared spices, which are the embalming fluids. They go to the tomb. They're bummed out. In fact, in a moment, I'm going to read you a verse that they were wondering, how in the world are we going to get the stone rolled away so we can put this on his body? Dead people stay dead. They're going to encounter a wonderful problem in a moment. Jesus did not stay dead. Revelation 1, verse 18, Jesus says, "For I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore." Wow. Revelation 2, verse 8, Jesus said it again. Write down these things who says the first and the last who was dead and came back to life. That's Jesus Christ. My Jesus, listen, there's a big difference to the Jesus we'll mention later. My Jesus came to this earth, lived, died, rose again, and went back where he came from. That's the Jesus of the Bible. But dead people stay dead. And so they've come to the tomb and they're going to anoint his body. And the Bible says in Matthew 28, verse 1, now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, they came to the tomb. This is important. I don't want to belabor it, but it is important. If you're Jewish today, listen up carefully. The Passover weekend was in effect. After the Passover, on the first day of the week, being a Sunday after the Saturday, that's the Feast of First Fruits. Jesus Christ was found risen from the dead on the day of the Feast of First Fruits. You say, who cares? It's the fulfillment of Leviticus chapter 23, where God told the children of Israel, the first fruits of your increase, the first fruits that come out of the earth to benefit your life. Listen, are you listening? Yes. The first fruits that come out of this earth to give you life, God says, don't eat it. Give it to me. Why? Why do we tithe? Why do we worship? Why do we even come here right now? To give God, this is our first day of the week. Sunday, did you know that? Sunday's the first day of the week. Did you know that? In the Christian world, you start your first day of the week, not at work. You think, tomorrow's the first day of the week. No, no, no. Today's the first day. Sunday begins the week. And you put God first. That's why you're here. When you give God a little bit of money back for what he's given you during the week, you're saying, God, I thank you for this, but I don't live by it. I live by your provision. When we worship, we say, thank you, God. This music is not for me. This is a song of worship and love to you. The first fruits is when your wheat or when your barley harvest produces, God says, give the best to me. Why? Because it announces that God is first in your life. And a person who knows how to worship gladly does that. Lord, here's the first fruits. And God told Moses, tell the people your first fruits of the year you give to me. Isn't that interesting? Jesus, the Bible says, mark it down if you would. It's 1 Corinthians 15:20. It says, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep or died. For since by man came death, by man, that is Christ, also came the resurrection of the dead. Jesus is our first fruit. That is, that Jesus Christ is the first one that came out of the earth. He goes back to God, and we, listen, we are to honor him. Do you honor Christ? Do you know who Jesus is for real? It's a pretty amazing thing to realize and to understand that dead people stay dead, but not Jesus. Also this, verse 2, dead people have no power. I think we can agree with that. Dead people have no power. It says, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Now, in Matthew 28, verse 2, they were very concerned about that because they didn't know who or how they'd get the stone rolled away. But in Matthew 28, verse 2, the Bible says that there was a great earthquake and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone. Listen, and he sat on the stone. Isn't that a sassy angel? I love it. A great earthquake. By the way, you guys been monitoring the earthquakes going on? I have a cell phone. I have an application on my iPhone that monitors all earthquakes in the world. You should see my phone. You guys, Caltech and other organizations are saying the earth hasn't shaken like this, as far as they know, in big earthquakes all around the world like this. And just in the last 36 hours, Chile has had some tremendous quakes again. Wow. What's going on? I don't know. But I know this. The Bible says that on resurrection morning, an angel rolled back the stone. And you say, Jack, you just said that dead people have no power. They don't have any power. And are you suggesting that Jesus is alive? Yep. I'm not suggesting it. I'm proclaiming it. Yeah. Well, then why'd the angel have to roll the stone back? Ooh. You think Jesus is inside? Let me out. Let me out. No. Jesus had already been resurrected from the dead. The angel rolled back the stone to let the women that were running to the tomb in. And then in a moment, John's going to run in. And then in a moment, Peter's going to run in. The stone was rolled away because people needed to see. People needed to know. It's an awesome thing to realize. Dead people have no power. They can't do anything. If Jesus' tomb was the tomb of the man who, many skeptics say, well, Jesus, yeah, he got crucified. They thought he was dead. They put him in the tomb. The tomb was moist and cool. He revived and he got out. You know that's a book I'm talking about. There's a book out there saying he's been revived. He never died. He's been revived. Nah. Jesus of himself said, I was dead. Rome's job was to prove he was dead. by stabbing him in the side with that sword after he had died. Dead people have no power. At about 11:30 Friday night, 11 or Thursday night, 11:30 Thursday night, 11:45, doesn't matter. But we got a phone call. A friend of ours was in peril, maybe even dying. She had come close to dying before. And I got up and I drove to Hogue Hospital down there in Orange County off of Newport Avenue and got there, and the doctors were around her and her husband was there, and they were making her comfortable and trying to figure out what in the world was going on with her life. She's been battling for a long time. And if you've been in an ER room, it's pretty crazy, you know? And right next to her, 3 feet, this far away, 3 feet, 4 feet away, there's a guy laying flat on his back. I'm going to guess 19, 20, 21 years of age, laying flat on his back. And there's no instrumentation on him. There's no IV. There's no nurse. There's no doctor. There's nobody in his room along his bed. Just curtains dividing us. You know how it is. And as I was standing there and we're praying and we're... A nurse comes walking up and takes the blanket and puts it right over him. This young man was dead. He had no attention because he was dead. Nobody was there trying to raise him up. He was dead. He's in eternity right now. And I was thinking for that moment, I'm here. Who am I to him? Who is he to me? But I know something his family is yet to find out. I know something that they don't know. Is he a son? Is he a husband? And where is he in eternity? That kid died and he entered into eternity. Don't think for a moment that when you die, you just go to sleep forever. The Bible says no. We are very much alive after we die in a different world. And it's a world that you can prepare for. In fact, it's a world that you are preparing for right now with or without Christ. You're preparing for that world. Thirdly, under this point, verse 3 is this. Dead people don't get up. It says that they went in verse 3, that they went and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Oh, that's because, Jack, they stole his body. His body was stolen. You know, that was one of the scribes and Pharisees' concern. Rome, set a guard at the tomb so nobody steals his body, and they begin to say he rose from the dead. So Rome set a guard. Pilate had a dispatch to protect the body of Jesus. He's risen from the dead. He's not there. Dead people don't get up. Jesus is gone. Now listen, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:14, Paul wrote to the church at Greece and he said, if Christ is not risen, our preaching is useless and so is your faith. Church, I need everyone to hear this. In fact, go ahead and leave that verse up there, you guys. If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless and so is your faith. Let me hack up that verse a moment for effect. Keep your eyes on the screen. Number one, our preaching is useless and so is your faith. Right now, I hope not, but it's possible, in this room, certainly in the world outside these walls, there are people who believe that preaching is stupid and silly and that your faith is ignorant. Would you agree with that? Don't they tell us all the time? Oh, you stupid Christian. You guys believe, you believe in the Bible, you believe Jesus, all this stuff. Yep. Yeah, well, you know what? Your preaching is useless and your faith is stupid. That's what the world says. You want to know why? Did you know they have to say that? You want to know why they have to say that? Because if Christ has not been raised. Now look, you know, I know Jesus has been risen from the dead and we're going to see him soon. Here's the cool thing. The reason why the rest of that verse means something to you is because you know the front end of that verse. It's not if Christ, we know he has. So preaching is not stupid and our faith is not in vain. But if you're not a Christian today, what I'm doing is stupid and what these people around you believe, it's ridiculous. Do you see the defining moment of what the resurrection is all about? If you do not believe in the resurrection, then you do not believe in life. If you don't believe in the resurrection, listen, you have absolute, total fear of death, or you've somehow conjured up a belief system within yourself that if you die, you're just annihilated and there's nothing after the grave. Are you going to trust your story against his? of whom the Bible has been written of, this book, from cover to cover, spanning thousands of years. It's all about him. So you see, preaching stupid, evangelism stupid, the Bible is stupid, your faith is stupid if Christ is not risen in someone's mind, in someone's life. Go onto a college campus and proclaim, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. You're going to get beat up, or at least cussed out. Why? Because they don't believe he's risen from the dead. Christians, we are fools for Jesus Christ, gladly. We'll take ridicule. We'll take mockery. We understand that your critique of us is what you believe, but listen, it doesn't affect us. Because like Paul said, I know in whom I have believed. This is not a fairy tale. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Wow. How fearful? Well, depends on what side of this argument you're on right now. John 5:28. Listen to this. Jesus said it. Imagine. Are you going to believe what I'm going to say right now? Or are you going to believe what you want to think about it? It's not me saying it. I'm quoting Jesus. Check this out. John 5:28. Jesus says, don't marvel at this. For the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear my voice. Hear his voice. And come forth. Those who have done good. By the way, that good is to believe on him. To the resurrection of life, and to those who have done evil, to the resurrection of the condemnation or the resurrection of the damned. Can you believe that? Is that radical? Everyone's going to be resurrected in the end, the Bible says. Some to eternal life. Some to what is called an eternal dying or an eternal death. Choose your destination. Now is the time. Now is the moment. R. Kent Hughes from Wheaton College said, and I quote, if this hope dies out in the church, the resurrection, and if it's no longer preached, then that church dies. Because without the resurrection, there is no hope, there is no church, there is no Jesus Christ. Which is an interesting thing when you realize that people who knock on your door will spin to you a different Jesus. If they knock on your door, you have absolute authority to do whatever you want to them. They got you up. So because they knocked, you open the door and say, hi, who are you guys? We're Jehovah's Witnesses. All right then. And then go for it. You go for it. And you stay on point. It's all about Jesus.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called And on the Third Day. It's a look at the first 12 verses of Luke chapter 24. A record of the discovery of the Messiah's empty tomb. It's part of our teacher's verse-by-verse examination of this fascinating eyewitness account, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, this means that we have arrived at the last chapter, and we'll be wrapping up this series soon. If you've just recently joined us on a daily basis here on Real Radio, you may be interested in what we're still making available. This entire series through Luke on two MP3 CDs for your tax-deductible contribution of any amount to the outreach of Real Radio. It's comprised of 141 complete messages by Pastor Jack, and it's really a terrific way to internalize this first-century historical narrative about Israel's Messiah. Go to realradioactive.org to learn more and to make your request. Just click where it says simply, The Gospel of Luke. realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.